Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Into the end zone, touchdown, touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown, 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 Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Hello there. Welcome Tuesday afternoon. Welcome to One Bills Live presented by Kalina Health. Welcome to Orchard Park, New York, New Era Field, where the Buffalo Bills play, and the field is being installed on a kind of a nice day in Orchard Park. Happy to have you with us. John Murphy in our One Buffalo studio. Steve Tasker sitting right next door to me. And we haven't been together since last Wednesday, 6 days.
Yeah.
How are you, my man?
Good it's to that see kind you. Of time of year, though. Everybody's shutting down, and we're getting our free time, that whatever we have left, used up before training camp starts, because then it's full go and, you know.
Yep. And I'm getting out of here, Steve. I'm warning you will like to hear this, I think. Work tomorrow, and then I'm gone for several weeks. I'll be back mid-July, I think it is.
Yeah, the show's going off the July 4th week. We've been kind of working, kind of crescendoing, and that's we're going to do, I don't know, best of and guest hosts and stuff. How about Brownie coming in yesterday and doing the whole 3 hours?
Doing the work of two men.
I told him that's hard labor. That's like swinging a 20-pound sledge breaking rocks.
Good
that
for him.
By himself.
We
good
thank
for
Chris
him.
Brown.
Yeah, we thank Chris Brown.
Doing yesterday's show. Steve and I had extended weekends for a couple of reasons. I had a little charitable golf tournament. Steve had the big family wedding. How did it go? You were tied up with it since last Thursday, right?
Yeah. It like six trips to the airport, you know, on Wednesday, Thursday. A couple of catered meals at my house, plus the big event on Saturday night. 70 people at the house one night, 40 the other night, and then another 30 people on Sunday night, and it's just one thing after another. And the weather was horrible for the entire weekend, so that kind of was an extra degree of difficulty. But it turned out right. Plus, I was telling you right before we came on, it's kind of you feel pressure, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because you got my daughter-in-law's family comes in from all over the world, right? So you want to have, you know, you'd like Chamber of Commerce weather, right? And you have all this stuff going on. And we did take them to the falls. It was a beautiful day on Friday, although it was a little chilly. And particularly, you know how it is at the falls, right, where the mist comes up and stuff. We were on the American side of the falls, spent the whole day there. It was nice, really nice. That was the highlight of the weather. But, you know, we've got – yeah, you always want to you feel that pressure of having to – you want to entertain. You want to be a good host. You want them to have a good time. But you also know, too, they were on – I mean, they're coming from Europe and Africa, and so their body clocks are all out of whack. So you kind of want to be sensitive to that and give them enough time to get some rest and stuff, too, while not leaving them hanging in a foreign country with nothing to – you know what I mean? Just stashed away someplace. So all kinds of that going on. But it seemed like it went really well we had the pulse on the weekend pretty well, so it was fun. And it's like a couple of weeks ago. I'm happy to be back at work because it's a brief respite from
the
hectic nature of my schedule when I'm away.
I got a thing in the falls tomorrow night. I'm doing a thing with Thurman tomorrow night, and at Niagara Falls, right at the falls, Niagara Falls, Ontario, at Hornblower. You know what that is? It's the boats that chug right up towards the falls. It's called Hornblower now in Canada. Made of the Mist in the U.S., and I'm doing a thing with Thurman tomorrow at Hornblower.
Oh, yeah.
Like a Facebook Live segment.
Up at the top of the cabin, or is it down in the
Well, we're eventually getting down on the bottom of the boat. I'm not sure exactly where we're
going. Are you
going
out?
Yeah, I want to go out. What? You go to the falls?
Yeah, you kind of got to.
Got
to
go, right? I mean, I love those trips, you know, the slow chug, get up underneath the fall.
It doesn't like snow, slow chug like that, does it?
On the way up? You've never done it?
No.
You've never done those boat rides?
Not in 32 years. Are you kidding me?
How do you say it? It's the greatest ride in the world.
Well, you know how it is.
Chug against the current. You get up at the falls. You're like from me to you away from the Horseshoe Falls.
Really?
You want to reach out? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You don't get that close.
You get pretty darn close.
Do you?
And then you turn around and the boat just shoots back.
Shoots back.
Yeah, because of the current. It's amazing. I'm looking forward to doing that tomorrow night with Thurman, Hornblower thing we're doing tomorrow. It'll be on Facebook Live.
You're like most locals, though. You live here, and you go to the falls. It's awesome and stuff. But whenever anybody visits, you got to take them.
Yeah.
So as a result of that, the first 11 and a half years of my life here in Western New York, I was a Bill. So the people, nobody visits in the summer. They always come up for football season, right? Because, you know, they come to the game and, you know, do that. So while they're here, they go to the falls, and I'm working. Yeah. I'm practicing, I'm lifting, I'm, you know, playing the game and all that. And they all go to the falls. So my wife, as a result of that, has been to the falls like, you know, 3,700 times. I've been there like three.
Well, you got to get back
there. And I've never done this, some of the stuff that a lot
of
people love. Oh,
you got to do it. Cave of the Winds, you ever do that on the American side? It's great. I had some cousins in from Ireland a couple of years ago, and we took them to the falls.
Yeah.
And they're like, and they weren't little kids, but their eyes lit up like they're little kids. They're like, whoa.
Well, we took all these people from, you know, the continent and from Europe, and they were like,
there's nothing like
they, you know, asking questions like, is it always going like this?
Right. Yeah. Well, they're going to shut it down.
Right. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that tomorrow night. Yeah, I was up in Niagara Falls area yesterday, playing in a charity golf tournament up at Niagara Frontier Country Club. Great course. Have you ever heard of it even? Because it's kind of
I had not when you mentioned it. No.
It's right on the
what's it called?
Niagara Frontier Country Club. It's a nice 18-hole course. It's been there forever. It's on Route 18. It's almost at Fort Niagara State Park. Great course.
And the right people on the lake.
It's like across the road from the lake.
Almost. Okay.
Yeah, it's a great place. We had nice weather, which is always a treat this time of year. We had the, I want to say the 20-something annual tournament named after my dad, Matthew Murphy Memorial, a golf tournament to benefit Empower, which is the cerebral palsy agency in Niagara County. Great time. Great time.
All your brothers were there?
Yep.
How many brothers?
I have three brothers, and all three of them were there yesterday. Yeah. Matthew came for dinner, and the rest of them, I played with two of them.
Yeah, nice.
It was great. It was a great day. Beautiful weather. Great course. It was nice. And it wasn't funny. I'm used to it by now. You are, too. All people want to talk about is the Bills, and it's all like a secret, like, what do you think? How many wins? How many wins? And I would say, and I honestly believe this, and I reserve the right to change my mind before the season starts, I would say, I think they can win 9 or 10. And most people are disappointed. Oh, that's all? that's 9 or 10 is pretty good for a team that won 6 last year. Oh, that's it?
I never even think about giving. And people don't ask me how many they're going to win. They just ask me, how are they going to do? And I always tell them, I say, I raise my eyebrows, and I go, I think they're going to be not just good. I think they're going to be really, really good, whatever you think that means.
Well, before the season begins, you're going to have to pick a number here, right?
Do I?
Yeah.
Is that in my contract?
Yes. I just put it in. You missed
it. I think they're going to be really, really good. And so and they may not be, but I that's where my head's at. And and I'm like you. And I can't go anywhere without somebody wanting the secret, right?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Like, hey, what are they
noon
really
to three, that's where we're here. We're giving
up secrets
really
going to be
day.
Good? What are you really thinking? It is what it is. We don't keep secrets.
The good thing is it's coming and you can feel it. Now, I got some vacation time coming up, and I'm always, this time of year, people say, you getting excited, ready? And I'm thinking, I'm getting excited about having a couple weeks off.
Yeah.
And they're thinking about the season. I need to get through this, and it's the dead time of year right here, right, at One Bills Ride, but I need to get through this so I can really start to lock in on the regular season, which is going to be here before we know it.
Yeah.
What did I read? I think Howard Simon tweeted today, training camp opens in 37 days. So we have a little bit more than a month to get ready
to
really
season
go to work.
The offseason starts for you tomorrow, right? It starts the rest. Monday it really started. Now the OTAs are all gone. But the rookies are in here still.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
they're still
hanging
around.
I saw some receivers in here doing drills here today.
But it's it is the shutdown month.
Yeah.
And you think about the offseason and people get the idea it's like months and months. They don't play games for months and months, but man, oh man, there's stuff going on all the time. All the time. So, it's I'm going to start really getting excited when training camp hits. You know, when they start practice there, then it's all brand new. And, that's going to be
It's not that far away.
It's not that far
37
away.
37 days, about a little bit more than a month away. So here we are. We got a Tuesday show, a Wednesday show, and then I'm out of here. Steve will be here. You here the rest of the week now?
Yeah, I'm here the rest of the week. In fact, the next time I'm off, I think, is the 4th of July week that the
we're
show
both
is
off. Yep. Yeah. So we got a show here, and we're going to talk about the Bills and talk about the NFL. And I think it's good right now with minicamp over last week to sort of take stock of where the Bills are, what the offseason looked like, and what the upcoming training camp might look like, and get your sense of, what it's going to be. We got a pretty good show guest lineup. Brad Gagnon from Bleacher Report is going to join us. He's written a number of posts about the NFL and about the Bills. He said the Bills had a really good offseason. We'll talk with Brad Gagnon about that at 1 o'clock. 2 o'clock, a buddy of yours, Oliver Luck, who is the commissioner of the new XFL, XFL 2.0, is it, or XFL 2, starting up next spring. And we talked to Oliver Luck at the Super Bowl. We're going to revisit him. He's got a lot going on, including player tryouts. And you played with him in Houston, right?
Oh, yeah. We were teammates for a hot minute.
Yeah.
I think a year. I think he was there both my years there in Houston. A year and a half I was there in Houston. Played. He was backing up Warren Moon at the time. And, of course, Warren didn't take too many days off. But, yeah, Ollie was a good player, really good player.
Oliver Luck's going to be with us on the line at 2 o'clock today. So that's what we got guest-wise. Question-wise, I think this is an interesting topic to consider. And, again, you kind of take a breath, I do anyway, right now, and think, what have the Bills done in this offseason, and what are they looking at in the 37 days away when camp begins? An interesting question that came from one of our staffers, Jeff Koltnack. Who will be the surprise breakout player for the Buffalo Bills this year? Now, you're familiar with this Bills roster. If you're listening to the show, watching the show, you know what the stories have been, the different ways that all these players, new players, have arrived on the roster, and even some of the players have already been here. Somebody's going to break out. Somebody's going to be better than what we expect. Somebody's going to have, for lack of a better term, a breakout season. Somebody's going to have a season where it's like, whoa, I didn't see that coming, or whoa, that's great, that worked out. Why don't you identify who that might be? It's our Twitter poll. Who will be the surprise breakout player for the Buffalo Bills in 2019? You can vote on our Twitter poll. You can send in a tweet. We'll read them on the tweet sheet in a minute. Or you can call. We'd love to talk to you. We've got phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. For the Twitter poll, we isolated three names, and we don't have all the answers. There might be somebody you're thinking of that we haven't thought of. Who'd be the surprise breakout player for the Bills in 2019? On the Twitter poll, more than 335 votes in so far, and it's close. That's as close as it gets. Zay Jones, 31% say he'll be the surprise breakout player for the Bills. 30% say the rookie running back Devin Singletary. 26% say veteran defensive end Trent Murphy. 13% have somebody else in mind. There are arguments to be made for those three and even several others. Let us know what you think. Who'll be the surprise breakout player for the Bills this year? 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Zay Jones gets the lead by a slim margin there, Stephen. I guess I'm a little curious. I mean, led the team in receptions last year. I think he is a good, strong candidate to do it again this year, even with some of the additions to the wide receiver spot. I guess I'm just a bit surprised. And look, can he get better? Absolutely. But does he need to break out? Does Zay Jones need to – I mean, if he catches 85 passes, that's a breakout year. I don't know if I see that for Zay Jones.
Yeah, I think it would be a surprise for some people to see him as a guy who jumps up and has 85 or 95 or 100 receptions, given his lack of production the last couple of years. Now, granted, 2 years ago, Tyrod Taylor was throwing him the football, and then it was not going to be a prolific passing attack. So you can give him a pass on that. Last year he had four different quarterbacks playing, and plus the guy that ended up was a rookie in Josh Allen who, you know, in some cases you'd say, well, he looked around once and then took off running if it wasn't there. So, yeah, okay, I get it. It'll be interesting to see if Zay Jones can be a guy that you can get enough separation to coax – Josh Allen to throw it in there more often than not. And that's, you know, we'll see. He's not the guy on this list I would have picked, but there's no question he's going to get a lot of opportunities to be a guy that emerges as not just a contributor, but an integral piece of what this offense is all about. He's going to be on the field a lot for this team, I would think.
56 catches for Zay Jones last year. His first year, he only had 27. Played all 16 games last year. Strong finish, which is why maybe people think he's going to break out. 11 catches in the final two games of the year and 3 touchdowns in those final two games. He's got talent. He's bulked up, too. I mean, you look at him, you can see he's a much bigger man now. But there are other places for the ball to go, which makes me wonder if he is, in fact, the best candidate for a breakout year, right? There are places for the ball to go this year, including John Brown and Cole Beasley, who will be coming out of the slot, and Robert Foster now in his first full season with the Bills. Look, if Zay Jones gets 50, 60 catches again, that's a good year. Won't qualify as a breakout year, and I don't know how much more than that I would look for from Zay Jones. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a team that's got more options in the passing game, no question about it. They're going to have a better offensive line and be more complex as a passing team. You'd like to think Josh Allen's going to make better decisions with the football. You and I have both said we thought the flaw in his game has been. It's not been his accuracy, but his decision-making. So all of those things put together would give you both sides of that coin. Yeah, there's going to be more opportunity, but there's going to be more people to spread it around too.
Yeah.
But there's also going to be more times when you drop back and he's going to have time to go to his second option. So if Zay Jones isn't his first option and is still open, that's him as a second option or third option. He's going to get a chance to make those plays now because Josh Allen's going to go through the progression a little better theoretically. So I get it. Zay Jones is a guy that we've kind of been waiting on for a while. And this has been an offense that's been tough to watch at times. You know, it hasn't been as productive as you want it to be. They haven't scored enough points. But Zay Jones has been a guy they've depended on in those tough times. And we'll see if now when things, you know, you'd think are going to get better, maybe he is going to rise a little bit.
Is he the guy? Is he the breakout guy? What about the second guy on our list on the Twitter poll? Devin Singletary, the rookie. 30% of you on the Twitter poll say Singletary, Devin Singletary, third-round pick, will be the surprise breakout player. And that's fine. I get why people might say that. But you, as my, I mentioned how you're out and about in the public or at that golf tournament yesterday, and people's number one question is how the Bills going to be, how many wins. You know what the number two question is? It's about a running back. What are they going to do with Gore? Do you think they'll trade Shady? What will Singletary's role be? And I frankly have no answer at all when it comes to the running back mix. There are three and maybe three and a half, four strong candidates for playing time here, including T.J. Yeldon. So I don't know whether Singletary will have a major role to play in this offense. I don't think anybody can definitively say that Devin Singletary will have a major role to play in this offense. But 30% of you so far say he will be the breakout candidate. We'll see. I don't know. What do you think of that?
I kind of agree with that. In fact, that's the guy who I would pick for this poll to be the breakout guy because I've seen it happen so many times when a guy comes onto the team. Like, remember a few years ago, Carlos Williams, who had one flashy year. Then you've got guys like Gillislee over the course of the year, and all these names of running backs who have been here and then left. And most of them were playing behind LeSean McCoy or somebody like that. And you think about how those guys came in and flashed moments in seasons, and you think, wow, with a bigger opportunity, maybe he can do it. Devin Singletary is sitting beside two guys. One is a surefire Hall of Famer. The other one, if he has one more good year, is in that conversation as well. And they're just – but there's only two of those guys. And it's interesting. You think about this, Murph. The Bills – with their top two running backs, as good as they are or have been, there's a big question mark there as to whether they're going to be durable enough, bounce back enough, have enough left in the tank, have all of whatever question you can tag to those guys who are in their 30s as to what they're going to bring to the table, which leaves the third guy, which in this case looks like Devin Singletary or maybe T.J. Yeldon. I mean, one of those guys is going to be a contributor in a big way and perhaps in an enormous way if something happens to one of those top two guys. So, and if both those top two guys are on the team when they actually take the field on opening day.
Yeah, which I would anticipate will be the case. I don't like to look at injury and say, that's going to happen, this might happen. I don't think anyone can say that. I just don't have a clear sense of what Singletary's role might be, what Gore's role might be, what LeSean McCoy's role is going to be. You know, a lot of people... Again, fans asking questions say, no, I think they're trading him. Well, I don't know that they are. They've said that he is their number one. Every time the Bills decision makers talk about it, they say LeSean McCoy is our number one running back. Now, are they saying that to boost his trade value? Maybe. And they certainly have been capable of surprises, right, in the past. But I'd be surprised if it's not Shady McCoy on opening day as the number one back. And we'll see how the thing plays out. I just don't have a good sense of how those roles are going to be defined and how Singletary might be used to say that he will be the surprise breakout player for the Bills.
Yeah, one of the reasons I think Shady is going to be the guy is because he offers so much on both sides of the ball, on the passing side of the ball and on the running side of the ball. And I think Devin Singletary is the same kind of guy. Now, in college, and you heard this during the draft, we've been talking about Devin Singletary a lot as this goes on, which is why he's almost – also why he's on the poll today. Singletary was handed the ball 95% of the time in college. They never threw it to him. The Bills spent a lot of time in their workout and their personal interviews with him and the times they had him on the field throwing him the ball to see if he could do it. Because the thought in the NFL is if a guy's not doing it, it's because he can't. In college, sometimes you'll get a guy who can do it, but the coaching staff, because of other things, doesn't want to give, you know, doesn't have a quarterback that can throw it or doesn't have an offensive line that can protect or whatever. So they don't throw him the football for those reasons. In the NFL, if a guy can do something, they're using it because you need everybody on all hands on deck all the time. That's why the story goes in the NFL, find out what your guys do best, put an offense or defense, a scheme, a play, a concept that lets them do what they do best. If Singletary can catch, they're going to do it, and they think he can very well. So now he becomes a guy like LeSean McCoy. You don't have to have the other 10 guys doing something different because now Singletary's in there, not LeSean. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That may be the case if Gore's in there. There's no way Frank Gore runs routes as well as LeSean does. Singletary might, at least pretty much like that. So you don't have to, you know, change your offensive philosophy when you have Singletary in there if McCoy is your number one. That's the point.
I see the point.
And that's why Singletary may get more opportunities than we anticipate.
Yeah, he might. I don't know. I'm just saying I'd have a hard time naming him as my surprise breakout player just based on the uncertainty about who's going to even play at all.
Well, plus
at that position.
He's like third guy.
Yeah.
Zay Jones right isn't third guy. I mean, he's up there with John Brown and Cole Beasley. He's got a spot kind of solidified. But Singletary, you're right. He may get one offensive play a game, you know?
We'll see. And finally, on our list of surprise breakout candidates and our question of the day, who will be the surprise breakout player for the Bills in 2019? The last man on our list, and actually the vote I would cast, is for Trent Murphy, defensive end, who struggled. He talked about it a lot this past offseason, struggled with his surgically repaired knee last year, never felt right. Now he's a year removed from that surgery, over a year removed, and he seems good, getting rave reviews from the coaching staff about his approach. I think he's a guy who knows how to play. Look, I'm not saying he's double-digit sacks or anything, but I think he's going to be an important player on that side, both in the run game and the pass game. They have a heavy rotation on the defensive line. He'll be part of that, you would think, as long as he's healthy. And I think he will be an important player and maybe even get better than he was for Washington where he, you know, began his career. I think that's what the Bills, I don't know if they're counting on it, but they're hoping for it, that, you know, his developmental years are behind him, his surgery and recovery from surgery is behind him a year now, and that this is the year Trent Murphy becomes the kind of player that he could be in this league. I would put my vote there. He would be a surprise breakout player for the Bills, I think.
I think if you put him into context with the other two guys, Zay Jones and Devin Singletary on this list, he's the one who, like Zay Jones, you can make a case of, well, it wouldn't be a breakout year. He led the team in receptions last year, but, you know, Trent Murphy would be a breakout.
Mm-hmm.
He was invisible too much last year. He didn't feel himself physically. There's no question he's young enough to still have something in the tank. He's got something, I think, to prove to himself and to the club, and something he wants people to see about him and around the National Football League. I think he wants to be that guy, and I think he's highly motivated. I think it's a great call, you know, for him to be on this list, because if he does do it, it will be a big step forward from where he was a year ago. He ended up with, I think, like four sacks last year. Yeah, that's – I mean, you got to think he – you know, his goal's got to be like 10, like more than double that.
I mean, just looked. His best year was the 2016 year with Washington. He had 9 sacks. He had 46 tackles in 16 games. Last year, he only played 13 games and started 10. So if he plays 16 games and he had 4 sacks, you would think he'd approach somewhere close to 9 sacks, even if he's just where he was. I think he's going to be better than he was.
Right.
I think 9 sacks is about what you might be looking for from Trent Murphy this year as he returns to where he was 3 years ago now.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's going to be what his sights are going to be. So I can't speak for him, but if that's me, if looking from the outside in, and if he does feel physically better, he's got to feel like he's going to get back to at least his 2016 numbers. And, you know, a guy like him, we've had him in here and talk, you know how intense he is.
Yeah.
And how prepared he is, how hard he works in the offseason to get ready. You know he's got lofty expectations for himself. So I think double digits minimum is his probably personal goal, and he's probably got a higher number than that. So, yeah, I think he's a great, strong candidate for one of those guys that comes up and Bills fans say, wow, I'm glad we have him now. You know, last year he was invisible. He didn't get enough production. 13, started 10 games, played in 13. Yeah, I think he's a great candidate, and it would be considered a huge breakout if he came back and got that kind of number.
He is surgically repaired. His knee's been surgically repaired. Trent Murphy he's 27. Now, that to me, that seems young, right? He's going into his sixth year in the league. He's 27 years old. He would be, provided he's healthy, which all reports are he is, he would be in the prime of his career right now, this year, age 27. He'll be 20, is he 28? No, he's 27 years old. He's 28. Born December of 1990. What's that make him? 28. He'll be 29 in
He'll be 29 in December, yeah.
Still.
No, 27 in December.
28.
32. I don't know.
Still Public in the math. Prime of his career, going into his sixth season, right? Yeah. Healthy now. I'd put my money on him being the breakout player. Surprised or not, I would say he would be the breakout player. But what do you think? Give us a call. Let's discuss. Phone lines open, 803-0550. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Send in a tweet. We'll read it on the tweet sheet. Let's start with a call, though. You want to start with a call?
Sure.
Let's start with a call.
Absolutely.
Let's start with Matt in Lancaster. Hello, Matt. Welcome. You're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Hey, how we doing?
Okay.
Good.
Good. I was thinking about Taron Johnson being a surprise breakout player or whoever steps up for a number two cornerback position.
Right.
Well, Taron is more likely to be your slot corner, right, where he was for much of last year.
Right.
I don't know if he'll be on the boundary corner as the number two guy. I would think, you know, Kevin Johnson is a candidate outside. Obviously, Levi Wallace returns there. But I don't know. Look – Well, go ahead. You can vote for Taron if you want. I wouldn't look for him to be the outside corner, the number two corner, opposite Tre'Davious. Okay. Thanks. I think I just shot him down. I didn't mean to. I get it. Let's go to Joel in New Hampshire. Hello, Joel. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Hey, tell you the truth. Well, it's like hopeful thinking is Duke Williams.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if that guy pans out, man, he's like an Eric Moles type guy, and I think that's what that receiving core needs. You know what I mean? And I hear he's been taking reps on special teams.
Yeah, he's got to.
Tells me that they're like, dude, you know, in other words, they're trying to work him into a roster spot.
Yeah, and
right.
It's a really good point, a really good selection, Joel. And, yeah, I think the special team reps are significant. We talked a lot about this at the end of last week when Chris Brown was here. And it's mostly significant, I believe, because it tells me they're looking at him like, hey, there's a roster spot, maybe just right. One open, fifth or sixth wide receiver on the roster. You want it? Make your name on special teams, and we'll keep you around and let you continue to develop. Don't you view it like that, Steve?
That's exactly what it is. And it's a good point by Joel, because Duke Williams, if he comes in, what a find he would be. And this is a guy who – Now, he's going to be a rookie in the NFL, but he's played 3 years in the CFL. He's kind of paid his dues, and he has come to the point, and if you ask him, he's very open about it. He says, I had a lot of things to learn. And he knows it's going to take sacrifice and hard work, and he's got to go the long way to do it. And the long way is through covering kicks. He's got to finally pick a roster spot, get a chance to hang around for a season, and prove himself as a guy who can contribute at first, not as a wide receiver in other ways, and then as he develops and he gets on the field, then he can let his raw talent shine as well. So it's going to be really interesting. And if he does pan out, I agree with you. He is the type of guy. Now, comparing him to Eric Moles is a little bit lofty right out of the gate, but that's the kind of guy he is. He's got a kind of a physical, nasty presence. Eric Moles played with an edgy attitude, and it served him extremely well. And Duke Williams is going to be that, could be that kind of guy. He's got that physical build. So, yeah, that's a great call on Duke Williams being the surprise player this year.
It really is. It would be a long shot, but it would be a great surprise, and it would be a great addition to the roster.
Particularly, not just – he'd be a surprise just to make it,
yeah.
Like we said. But, man, to have him come in and then contribute and have a package put in or get, you know, 15% of the offensive plays would be unbelievable for him. And that's –
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That'd be a surprise. That'd be a great addition.
That's a good one, Joel. Thanks for calling. We'll take your calls, too. Asking the question, who's going to be the surprise breakout player for the Bills in 2019? Give us a call at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Vote in our Twitter poll at OneBillsLive. Send in a tweet. We'll read them here in the tweet sheet. We'll do all of that when we return. Come on back. It's OneBillsLive, just getting started from OneBills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. So we call the show One Bills Live. We come from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tansky. We just spent the commercial break outside talking to the electricians from Fry Electric out there putting in some of the this place. When you come here for the first preseason game is August 8th, I want to say, Indianapolis. When you come here for August 8th, and things will be done by then, you're going to be stunned by the way this campus looks, I think, especially around here, around the front of the at Pro Sports Training Center right next door, the new player workout facility, right? It's going to look fantastic.
If you park in this area, you're going to be like, ooh, lay, wow.
Yeah.
It's going to be different.
Great. Look, I don't know what – that's the third most popular question. What are they going to do about a new stadium? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But we got a pretty good one here.
Yeah, this one's
and
nice.
It works. It works for everybody, I think.
I know the team headquarters isn't moving anytime soon. I know that. They'll be here for
– Why would you leave it with right? that $14 million into that weight room? Come
14.
On How much was it? 19?
It was like 18, some 20.
It's a lot of money.
They paid almost as much for this weight room as they did for the stadium in 72. Yeah. That was like 25.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Let us know what you think about the surprise breakout player for the Bills in 2019. Let's go to the tweet sheet, Steve. The tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. Why don't you get us started on the tweet sheet there, Steve?
All right, from Max, who will be the surprise breakout player for the Bills in 2019? The perception around Singletary has slowly gone from he'll rarely see the field this year to, he might be a pleasant surprise by the time the year is over, and I would pick him to be the breakout player. He's going to shock some people with his elusiveness. Watch and see. That from Max. And you may be right.
Let's talk about that for a second, can we?
Yeah.
How did that perception change? Because if it did, I wasn't on top of that. Did the perception – and again, this is only perception. The coaches don't announce, hey, Singletary will see the field a lot this year. They don't say he'll maybe get a play or two. But how did the perception change? When nobody really has seen the workouts, right? The media is invited once a week for like – 3 or 4 weeks, and then the last three sessions. I don't know how that perception changed.
It's interesting you say that, too. Do we talk ourselves into changing the perception?
In
I think
general,
fans do it.
Or that one?
Fans do it.
In general, yes, I believe they do, Steve.
If you start talking about it, and you think, well, you kind of talk about it, and you start envisioning scenarios where Singletary will be a bigger part of it by default, maybe, with LeSean McCoy not being around or Frank Gore not being around or him being the last guy standing, whatever the case may be. And there is a reason he was taken where he was. The guy is really good with the ball in his hands. He's tough to tackle. He is elusive. That was what his strength was in college. But I think as far as perception changing, I think you're right. I mean, we kind of talk ourselves into that.
It comes out of thin air. Now, the one part about Max's tweet that I like is when he says, he might be a pleasant surprise by the time the year is over. That's important. And we underestimate that. I'm guilty of it, too. The season is long.
Oh,
and stuff happens from September 8th to the end of December. And a guy who maybe had no role or very little role in September, by the time you get to the month of December, all of a sudden could be a key player. That happens in the NFL. That happens almost every year to every team in the NFL at certain positions. That could happen with Devin Singletary.
Yeah.
I could see that.
And you know how it happens as well. You know, he turns out he's a third running back as the season starts. And then this happens and that happens or whatever. And all of a sudden he ends up out of the 10 games through the second last two-thirds of the season or whatever. He ends up starting three of them,
yeah.
You know, for some reason or other and gets a bulk of the carries in a handful of games or less than a handful of games. You do get a chance to see, okay, at this level, let's see what he can do when the chips are down. And he does surprise you. And
he
exceeds expectations. It's fun.
From Tiffany, from the tweet sheet, Dawson Knox has the potential to win the number one tight end job with Kroft being out. He could emerge as a go-to target for Josh as he gets comfortable in the offense. He has size and speed and a high football IQ. He was underutilized at Ole Miss. I think he'll have an impact on the offense. Tiffany, I think, is, as usual, right on. And Dawson Knox is a guy whose perception of him changed, mostly because of the reps he got during the mini camps and OTA. With the injury to Tyler Kroft, Tiffany is right. There were more reps for Dawson Knox and some nice plays for Dawson Knox. Now, again, it's perception, but I think there's a little bit more production that has been on display from Dawson Knox during these last couple of weeks of spring practices.
Right. And with always like this, these polls, there's always a little bit of conjecture that goes into it. And part of the conjecture here at Dawson Knox is he played with three guys at Ole Miss at wide receiver who are all in the NFL right now. Now, granted, not all of them may stay there, but all three of those guys are NFL talent. And at Ole Miss, he was underutilized. Just she says, he was underutilized. He may be a guy who blossoms at this level because all of a sudden he does get a bigger opportunity. And he's had some for him, it was fortunate that Tyler Kroft wasn't practicing, because he does get more reps, and reps mean a lot to a young guy like that. So the logic makes perfect sense from Tiffany on this one, because he was underutilized, he was under the radar for a lot of people, didn't have a hugely productive college career, never caught a touchdown in college, and yet because of the guys who were surrounding him in Ole Miss, and now because of the opportunity he may get in Buffalo, you may see the guy blossom.
You know, it's kind of funny as we watch on the MSG feed, watch some of the highlights of the spring workouts, the mini camps, the summer mini camp, and the OTAs. A year from now, we'll see some of this video and think, no, I didn't want the November video. I wanted the summertime workouts. But that's what it looks like. It looks like November because it's been so cold, know, yeah. Right? Everybody's got like hoodie sweatshirts on and long sleeves, and the sky is gray. All the video we watch from the spring workouts.
Right.
It looks like November.
Hopefully training camp will be sunny and yeah, hot and smoking hot.
Yeah.
I want it hot. I want it so hot,
man.
I don't like it.
We deserve it. Call here from Carl in Amherst on the phone line. Hello, Carl. Go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Great.
Good.
Listen, I think there might not be a surprise player at all. Because
really?
I think the whole season, period depends on the offensive line. And if they can't get that offensive line together, I think they're done like a donut. I mean, if you look at their franchise players, Mitch Morse they got at center. All the guys that they got in free agency are almost all secondary players. They're almost all second-string players. None of them are what I would call as super high quality or really good. And I think we're very weak at guard. And if you can't get this running game going, I don't see any breakout players, especially on the offense.
Okay, I mean, thanks, Carl. I'll bet I could get into a discussion about how I think Spencer Long's a starter. No question about it. You can make your case about, you know, Quentin Spain.
Can I throw another name in there?
Yeah, go ahead.
I believe Cody Ford is going to be a really good offensive lineman.
Ford could slide down to guard. And you can get Ty Nsekhe, who a lot of people think is the best swing tackle on the market. He could play right or left. And you put him in there and slide Cody Ford down inside. All of a sudden, with him and Spencer Long, you got two pretty good guards.
One more name. Deion Dawkins comes back for what looks like his third consecutive year as a starting left tackle. So anyway. Question mark?
I was going to say, if they do get the offensive line together, mm-hmm. then who's it going to be? I mean, what's it going to look like? That's the question here. And I agree with Carl. If those guys up there stink, you know, nothing's going to look good. And he's right about that. I've said it a bunch of times, multitude of times on the show. They got to get that offensive line fixed. But listen, you and I have seen it, and we've talked about it at length. It looks to me like they've got enough talent up there to be really, really good.
Carl, what do you think? Still with us? Yeah, go ahead.
Listen, I'm older than you two guys probably put together. No, I'm just kidding.
Nobody's that old.
I really think that the whole season depends on him. I mean, I think you're going from 6-10 to 10-6, depending upon what that offensive line does.
What's the offense going to look like, Carl? If the offensive line is good, if it's above average even, or really good offensive line, who's going to be the guy that carries that offense? Who's got Josh going to throw it to? Who's he going to hand it to? That's going to be a surprise.
I would say Singletary.
Yeah,
I got you. Singletary, and I'll tell you something. I don't think we really need Tyler Kroft. To tell you the God's honest truth, I think we've got Groom and we got Knox, and I think and keep the other kid
Sweeney,
and I mean really, I don't think that's a huge loss. He was a second string player in Cincinnati, you know.
I hear you. Thanks, Carl.
Good point, Carl. But we'll see. I mean, he had some really good games in Cincinnati, even as the second string guy, and we'll see if he can continue that here in Buffalo. That's a good point, though.
Here's a call from Bob in West Seneca. Bob, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey guys, how you doing? And by the way, too, it ain't raining either, which is really good.
Yeah,
very nice.
I know a lot of people want this, but I'm taking Josh Allen, and I'm not saying it on the big plays or anything like that. I think this kid has learned a lot in his first 2 years. I believe you're going to, you guys will pick up more because you know more about the game than we do sitting up in the stands or watching TV. He's going to know when it called his audible. I think he's learning this. I believe he's going to be able to know, hey, guys, you know what? He's going to think that the right side of that line is a little weak. I can change this play. I can do this. I've learned. I've really learned what's going on. And most importantly, I think he's going to know, like, I hate to bring him up, but Tom Brady, you know, when they asked Tom Brady about, you know, would you rather throw the 60-yard pass? And he said, no. Give me that first down 10 yards every time. I march down the field, eat up clock. And more importantly, I think this kid has really learned how valuable the 2 minutes before a half is and the 2 minutes at the end of a game. Even before the half, I think he's learned. Even if we're up by 2 touchdowns, 17 points, you got the ball. Let's go down and get some more points here. I think this kid has really learned a lot, and that's what I'm looking for. And like I said, you guys will pick up more on this sitting in the press box, Steve playing the game. You know when this guy changes his goes to an audible. That's what I believe. I really think this kid's gotten a lot smarter, and I think he's going to be one heck of a leader for this team coming up this year.
All right, Bob, that's a good point, and I agree with you. There's no question we saw him get better really quickly this last half of this last year, and he, more so than any of the other guys drafted with him, Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, has the stability of being in the same offense with the same coaching staff, and with Matt Barkley, the same guy in the room with him, same offensive coordinator. It's really going to help him take a step forward where he left off last year. And I've been harping on it a lot this offseason. That last game he put together in Week 17 against the Dolphins was pretty impressive. If he can start from there and go forward, you're right. He's going to be not just a surprise player. He's going to be an elite player because that's the way he played in that Week 17. The guy completed 65.5% of his passes, threw for 3 touchdowns, ran for 2 other touchdowns, and they lumped up the Dolphins. If he can play like he did in that game and complete his passes like he did there, yeah, they're going to be tough to beat.
All right, that's the question of the day. Who's going to be the surprise breakout player? We got a good discussion going on this. We will keep it going when we come back. John Murphy with Steve Tansker. One Bills Live, presented by Collider Health from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
You want me to bring us back?
Yeah.
All right. So we had this conversation going on between segments, and we can't share it with you. But
why?
It also involves, what was it?
Cookies and cream popcorn that, yeah, Chris Brown brought in yesterday. Still good. Still good. Chris, thank you. Chris, thank you for that, and thanks for doing the show. Topic today, who will be the surprise breakout player for the Bills in 2019? We're getting a lot of good traction with this one, as they say in the business, Steve. Ready for another call?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
No?
We'll get into why this is a good one later, but
yeah,
Let's take another call while he's
Bob in the Southern Tier. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. When the Bills drafted Singletary, I looked at film at him right away, and he reminded me of Thurman Thomas. I think he's going to be the breakout player. And don't be surprised if they trade McCoy just before the start of the season to save millions in cap.
6.4.
Get a good draft.
You think Devin Singletary is going to come in as a rookie, third-round draft pick, and make a guy who's making $6 million expendable? Now, $6 million is not much in the NFL. And you think a guy like LeSean McCoy becomes expendable because of Devin Singletary? You're right, Bob. If that happens, that is the surprise of training camp. Now, I know this, too. There's an old adage in the NFL around locker rooms, and it is when you come down to training camp and you're getting that final roster, there are always surprises. I will go on record right now as saying that would surprise me greatly.
Yeah.
If LeSean McCoy is made replaceable by Devin Singletary. I'm not saying I don't think Devin's going to be a good player, but I don't think you get rid of LeSean McCoy based on anything Devin Singletary could possibly do in the preseason.
Part of it, and part of the discussion, and again, I go back to all the questions we get about McCoy and what are they going to do at running back. A lot of it depends on your perception of what went on with Shady last year. My perception, and I'm not saying I'm right, but my perception is McCoy was victimized by a really bad, struggling offense and an offensive line that couldn't do much. He didn't have much to do when he got the ball because the offensive line was not opening holes for him. And I think with a better offensive line, McCoy could be almost what he was if not a little bit better from a couple of years ago. That, again, that's my perception. I might be wrong. But it, a lot of how you see what Singletary's role is, what Gore's role might be, depends on what you thought of what went wrong with McCoy last year.
Yeah, you and I disagree on a ton of stuff, but this isn't one of the things we disagree on. He was behind an offensive line that struggled both in the run and the pass, and he was playing with a rookie quarterback who could throw a deep ball but not much underneath. I mean, he couldn't get it rolling. There was no room for him to run. Teams were stacking the box against the running game, daring him to throw it, and they'd stack the box, and the Bills would drop back and try and throw it deep. It was not a recipe for success. Now, it did highlight some of the things Josh Allen did well, and they did have some moments inside there that were really fun, no question about it. But LeSean McCoy was a little bit of a victim of his surroundings last year. In fact, I think he was almost a total victim of his surroundings. He did not fall off a cliff ability-wise last year. I think that offensive line, they weren't scaring anybody with their passing game. And so these teams are like going, listen, the only way to beat it, they got LeSean McCoy back there. That's the only thing that's really going to beat us. He's the best player on their offense. That's who we're taking away. And they did. And it wasn't that difficult to do, given the fact that they weren't really scared about having an offense where the quarterback's going to dink it off and get the first down, dink it off over here and get a second and short, then dink it off over here and repeat that first down. It just, that offense wasn't doing that last year. Yep. And LeSean McCoy's numbers and the perception about him suffered because of it.
Let's take one more call this hour on this topic. We'll have time for more on this. But Chris is on the line from Buffalo. Hello, Chris. Go ahead.
Hey, John. I love your point. And Shady is actually my candidate here for a lot of the reasons you mentioned. We had Vlad Dukov starting at guard last year. I don't think that guy should be on the NFL roster. And on top of having the worst offensive line in the league, I think we had the worst wide receivers in the league. So, obviously, like Steve said, all you have to do is cue on the running back, especially when you have a rookie QB. I think it's like how people say Le'Veon Bell is such a patient runner, and that's a compliment to him. Well, how patient is he when he doesn't have time to be? And I think he's going to see that with the Jets this year, but Pittsburgh has a great offensive line.
Yep.
So I think Shady's going to go for 1,000 yards this year and maybe 1,200 all-purpose.
Yep, that would be a surprise.
Yeah,
Chris,
I
good
agree.
Point, though.
Yeah.
And a really good point about receivers, Steve. One, you asked about playing golf with my brothers yesterday. My brother, Paul, huge Bills fans. All my brothers are. But he asked a question that just stopped the conversation for about, how you have you play golf, you're talking.
Right, right.
Stop conversation for about one hole. He said, and my brothers typically won't quiz me about the Bills because everybody else
right.
does. My brother, Paul, said, John, challenge me. John, have the Bills ever had a worse wide receiving corps than what they had last year? I didn't answer, but the conversation stopped because I didn't have a good answer. I started thinking, let me think, what year was bad? But it's hard. And the caller just made that point, too. They really were not. Look, they had Josh going deep was the threat they had. They had Foster making some big plays downfield. But that offense was bad. They were 31st in passing last year. I don't have to tell you that. They were bad last year, both on the ground and through the air. And maybe that was the worst receiving corps they've ever had than they had last year, right? You're thinking, Les. I
couldn't tell you. I'd have to go back and look at stats to see, when did they throw the ball worse than they did last year? And that goes back a ways.
Yeah, and it plays into McCoy's struggles.
And it wasn't just – and let's face it, too. You got to be honest. I don't want to throw every guy who played on the offensive line for the Buffalo Bills under the bus because you had four different starting quarterbacks last year as well. You had a poor wide receiving group. Kelvin Benjamin disappeared.
Yep.
Zay Jones was trying to find his way. You had Robert Foster, who was in and out of the lineup, up and down. Ray McLeod trying to find his way. There was nobody there. You'd be hard-pressed, and I'd have to go back, and I don't have it in front of me, go back and look at years in which they threw the ball worse than they did last year. I don't know if there's that many to choose from.
I know.
Right?
Yeah, it makes you stop and think.
And you do have to give some of that to the wide receivers as well.
Yeah.
Not just the offensive line, not just the quarterbacks. But there were four quarterbacks last year.
Yeah.
And two of them started.
We've moved beyond, right?
Right. Two of them started when they were here for less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they were in a bad spot last year. You forget how – we remember – during the season. You and I were coming in here, man. It was dark.
Yeah,
it was. We were talking about each other. You know, these are dark days.
That was the
whole
point. Remember, I defined it one day, one Monday.
It was the. I think it was after the Chicago game.
That was it. I came in here and said, "This is the low point.
It's as bad as it gets. It is. It's going to get better, and it did too. And it did. And I think last year, they kind of realized after the Chicago game and during that stretch that wow, they're just. The offensive line is just not good enough.
Yeah.
There's just no combination that's working.
Yeah.
And that is the crux of the issues behind their offense. And their defense wasn't getting put pressure on them because these offenses and these other teams, they didn't feel like they had to score any points.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Who's
going to
be a surprise breakout player in 2019 as we kind of shift the focus to forward-looking? Also, a pretty good guest coming up next. We're going to talk with Brett Gagnon of Bleacher Report about the Bills 2019 and maybe a little bit about 2018. Come on back for that. Just got 1 hour in the books, two to go. One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.